He definitely needed church. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. You have in your hand some information on the Lord's Supper. I'll tell you to give you a hint ahead of time. So this is for the old man Frenchie. We will spend more time on this than a week. We'll probably spend more time on this than 2 weeks. We'll probably discuss some things that I think maybe need to be discussed. Maybe. Maybe it won't take that long. Maybe we'll do it all in a week. This is an interesting issue, the Lord's Supper. I grew up partaking of the Lord's Supper in a Baptist church, obviously. Most of us, if you grew up in church, as a kid, you can remember back when you were thinking about, what is that? And I remember telling my mother that I wanted to partake of the Lord's Supper, and she looked at me and says, you had to be saved and baptized first. And then I can very, very vividly remember the first time after I got saved and was baptized, I partook of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, I've already said something that some of you have missed. I've already told you a view of the Lord's Supper. Is it open to all Christians in a Baptist church? See, these are the questions we're going to look at. But I remember the first time I have actually partook of the Lord's Supper, and this is, you know, I was a kid, 10, 11. And my first thought was, that is the nastiest stuff I've ever had in my mouth. All that anxiety over partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that didn't even taste good. Kids, well, let's stand. We'll read together. Actually, I guess you could read it in your notes. It's in your notes for you that can't find your Bible. Verse 17. Pastor Warren learns a thing or two. I am not a guy that you can stay in a church for 15 years and I never learn anything. There are some people who haven't learned anything in their whole life. There's about three or four things about the Lord's Supper that I have learned since coming to this church. Did you just hear me? One of them I have learned in the last 6 months. And it comes from this text. I have improperly done something to some degree in this church. To some degree. I have elevated the issue of self-examination higher than it should be. Because self-examination is part of the Lord's Supper, but it is a secondary issue. Now you say, why? Because it is only found in how many texts is self-examination found in the Lord's Supper text? One. And where is it found at? In a church that is a good church? Answer the question. Good church? Actually, I have learned the hard way, though I haven't focused on it, beat people up. I have come to realize that you have to be careful with self-examination because self-examination needs to be done if it needs to be done. But it's not primary portion of the Lord's Supper. How do you like that? Now, do I think people need to have self-examination? Yes. But anyhow, we'll begin here. We'll talk about that in later times. Some of you heard what I said and some didn't. Now, in this that I declare unto you, it's pretty bad when you write a letter and say, I'm not real happy with you. I don't praise you in this issue. That you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. I don't think we have this problem at Lake County. I don't know that we've ever had it in my 20, almost 1 years. But I have been in churches where when you go to church, it would have been better to stay home. I've been in those churches. One of my friends pastored, Phil, where are you at? Moscow, Michigan. You know, we've talked about that place. I don't think that church is even there now. That was the worst experience of my adult life, preaching in a church. Have people turn sideways in the pew and won't look at you. You're like, what'd you come to church for? Not everybody comes to church for the same reasons. He says in verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And he says, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. And verse 19 is very questionable. I don't know that we'll spend a lot of time with it. There's a lot of different ways of angling this verse. heresies doesn't just mean false doctrine. It means little groups. You know, we each have our own little opinion on things. So, you know, the one little opinion group gets over here, another opinion group gets over here, another one gets over here, and they do what Christians in some churches do well, which is chismas, gossip. They think it's their gift. You know, God hasn't gifted me in teaching, preaching, or serving. He's gifted me in gossip and criticism. That's my gift. So he says, I guess there must needs be, I think what this verse means, these things have to be, that they which are approved among you may be made manifest among you, so that the big shots and the important people know who, everybody knows who they are. I think that's what it means. There is another way of taking that, which I'm not going to get into right now. He says, when you come together, remember, the Lord's Supper can't be done in somebody's hospital room. The Lord's Supper is a local church thing. You know, when you come together, you just keep saying that over and over. When you come together, therefore into one place, it's not even to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One's hungry, and another is what? Then he asked that kind of, this is not the kind of question you want to get from an apostle. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? You see, anytime you play a game with parties, and it used to be built into churches. Now, you have grown up in America. Very few of these remnants are here. But when Baptists came to America, part of the separate Baptist getting away from the state church was when you went to the churches, the wealthy people had the pews or the boxes down front. The poorer you were, the farther you were from all the action. So you knew exactly when you went to church where you fit in. You knew exactly. Now, some of you have never seen this. Go to England. Go into any Anglican church in England. You'll immediately see it. The boxes, if you're in the back, fact is most of the people would have to stand up. And then it gradually works forward till you had your own box. Hey, do you not know churches in America didn't tithe? They raise money a different way, paying rent on your pew. Now, it equaled the same thing, but the object was the more money you had, the better. We have people here this way. We have people here that want to know what other people give. God help your little pinhead. I think I'd be worrying about what you give and not comparing it to someone else. Let's continue. Verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? The answer would be yes. Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Then, of course, we have the section where he recounts the Lord's Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, now we've moved away from the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and we're back to what? The problems at Corinth. By the way, I don't think we do not have the ability at Lake County Baptist for you to be a big shot. We don't have that ability. Yeah, you guys have been standing up a long time, haven't you? It's good for you. Some of you will at least be awake because you're afraid you'll fall down otherwise. We'll just stand up until I'm done. Wherefore, he's now back to application. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or a woman examine himself. But understand, it's all about the body. You come to church thinking you're better than someone else, and you even have ways of manipulating this in a church so you show people. Lake County Baptist has one strength and one weakness. Those, and they're the same. The strength is we do not have this problem. The weakness is some people won't come here because of that. They'll find the church in town, which used to be Tommy. Where'd Tommy go? He's here someplace, isn't he? He's up in the booth. What's he doing in the booth? Okay, Tommy, I'm speaking to you. Used to be in Zion, it was CCC. That is not as significant. By the way, there was a day if you were somebody in Zion, that's where you went to church, because that was a place to go. It's not quite like that now. Well, we continue. Let a man or a woman examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, and the better word here is just condemnation or judgment to himself, because he does not discern the Lord's body. He doesn't recognize what it means to be part of the body. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For he says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. It is the Lord's Supper. It's what we do as a body, folks, not individually. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not together unto condemnation or judgment of any form. And he says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. There must have been other problems too. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. May this be a profitable time. And this morning, as we begin to look at the Lord's Supper, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The local church has two ordinances. The first one is the initial ordinance, and the second one is the continual ordinance. This, of course, is baptism, and this is the Lord's Supper. One is to be carried on an ongoing basis, and one happens one time for each believer. We've already talked about that. In your notes, I have the verses from 1 Corinthians 11. I would recommend you spend time, and if you do not have questions, please look at me. If you do not have questions on 1 Corinthians 11, it's because you're not reading the passage. Everybody should read this and have a half a dozen easy questions. And if you don't, you're just not reading the Bible. Because if you can't sit down, deacons, if you can't sit down with a new Christian, Rolando, and explain to him the difference between this, partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you deacons cannot talk about that to Rolando, we have a problem. Because those are not connected ideas. And I find most Christians, excuse me, not men, women, they struggle with this. I've had people come to me and say, I don't feel worthy. So we'll talk about that when we're in here, but not this morning, okay? Deacons, I actually expect the deacons of this church to actually be able to communicate truth to people. Holding the mystery of the faith in a good conscience, that's part of what a deacon has to do. All right. We're going to just look at some real basic concepts. Some of these are just really, really, really basic. What is it legitimate to call the Lord's Supper? Well, obviously from the Bible, we have the concept of, in your notes, number one, the Lord's Supper. Where do we get this from? It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. If you will turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, and I need to change this someday in the notes. Revelation. Everybody find Revelation 1 verse 10? All right, everyone look up here. There is, and I should put it in the notes. Forgive me for not doing it. The expression in Greek in 1 Corinthians 11, everyone look here, and in Revelation 1 verse 10 is absolutely unique. It is not the normal way of expressing this term. It is unique in that in the way it's expressed, because it's trying to express something to make it a permanent way of expression. When you see Revelation 1 in verse 10, it says, "And I was in the Spirit on what?" That is the only time, those two times in the Scripture, are before this in Greek literature that you get the particular phrase, the Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper. It's not expressed the normal way Greek would, which would be the Supper of the Lord in Greek. It would sound like that, or the Day of the Lord. It is totally changed with that word kyriake, kyriakos, whatever the word is here in Greek. Do I have it in here? Yes, kyriakon. And it is expressed to tell us this is something very unique. It is the Lord's Supper, just like there is such a thing as the Lord's Day. I think that's called Sunday. Not the Day of the Lord, which is a future time. He's talking about the Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper. And those are very specific in Greek. Number two, what else can we call it? So we can call it the Lord's Supper. That's a very good way of calling it. I think that's very legitimate. The second thing we can obviously call this is communion. Something happens in the Lord's Supper that is more than just putting something in your mouth. It's more than you nodding and going through the motions. There is something called communion, and communion has both a vertical direction, I mean horizontal, and a vertical. It's with the Lord, and it's with His people. Which is the reason the Lord's Supper is so important, and it is so difficult for people to get engaged with, because we are very individualistic as Americans. We think of ourselves. We think of what we do, and yet communion is not that. Look at the text. The cup of blessing which we bless, Paul includes himself. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? I mean, there's more going on here than just, you know, your remembrance is a bigger thing, but it's not the only thing that's happening. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are having true communion with the Lord, and we're having true communion with His people. It is a corporate act. It's not an individual doing something. It is a corporate act. Americans, I'm prejudiced. I think America in many ways, look at me, not in all ways, but in many ways is the greatest nation ever. But in some ways, we're the worst nation ever. We have a very difficult time doing things corporately. We are highly uber individualistic. We just can't grasp that something can be done as a group. Everything is what I do. Now, I was goofing with you two guys. Filipino culture is much more collective, for good and bad. You know, it's both good and bad. American culture is individualistic. How many rituals do we have in America? You saw one if you saw the inauguration. It's a collective activity. You know, you had the group that was there, whether you like Trump or not, they were going through the forms collectively as a country. We've been doing inaugurations for a long time in this country. Then there was a group over burning and breaking into buildings. I'm not sure what they were collectively doing, but being idiots. So, communion, it's what we do. I got two young guys here from Bible college, so I'm going to say something for them. I want you to look at verse 16 again, because when I was in the Philippines for the first time, it was the first time I ever heard this, that they said the Apostle Paul, this is a view of communion that's only local church communion, meaning if you're from another local church and you come and visit our church on a Sunday morning, you cannot partake of communion at our local church. And one of them even said, Paul only partook of the Lord's Supper in Antioch. And I said, well, that's interesting, because that's not what he says. So when Paul went and started a church, look up here, he started a church. He was not a member of that church. He was a member of the church in Antioch. But when he started the church and he passed on this truth, these truths, and he also partook of communion with them. How do I know? Read the verse, he tells you. So the extreme form of closed communion is eliminated by what Paul says. He talks to people at Corinth, not at Antioch, and says the cup of blessing which... Folks, obviously, he didn't. If I'm starting a church, he didn't institute the Lord's Supper and not partake of it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Especially when he tells you that we bless the same cup and the same bread, which we break together, is the idea. All right, I'll talk more about that. Closed communion has a lot of bad sides to it, which we'll talk about, but not today. Number three. The third thing that it can be called is Thanksgiving. Now, don't put that word in there because it's already in there. I'm going to use the word, and I think the word's fine. Is the word Eucharist. But if you're a Catholic, and the moment you hear the word Eucharist, your mind goes into places that have nothing to do with Christianity. You'll hear about a Holy Eucharist and all of these names and language. But I have this in your notes. I mean, Eucharist is a very common word in the New Testament. I actually have this in your notes. I don't even have to write it on the board. Folks, Eucharist is just a Greek word, more or less. Under the verses, I say this, Eucharisteo means I give thanks. Eucharistia means thanksgiving. So is it appropriate to call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist? Only if you're going to tell people what that means. So if you go to some Catholic church and they say, now we're going to partake of the mystery of the Eucharist. There's no mysteries. There's no secrets here, folks. Every passage that refers to the Lord's Supper, every time we give. By the way, did you hear what I said? We give thanks. So when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, this is very appropriate to partake of the Lord's Supper and give thanks. It's a beautiful thing. So I don't know that I would use this, but I will say this as Baptist, I want you to know. So when some dummy comes up to you and says, well, you guys don't do the Eucharist, you can say, yes, we always give thanks. Because that's all the word means. No magic, no woo stuff. Lord's Supper, communion, thanksgiving. What I find interesting about the three terms is two of them focus on what? It's what we're doing. We're having communion and we're giving thanks. This one here is more of a title. Where I grew up, we would always say communion. Later on, I heard more of the Lord's Supper. Some people will say the Lord's table. That's fine. It's not a big deal one way or the other. So those are kind of an introduction to this whole concept. Where do I want to go from here? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Are you guys ready for diving in? There are four views. I'm glad Walter's here today because Walter actually can speak about this better than me. I'd read this stuff, but I never understood it before I met Walt. Walt's weird. Did you guys know that? He learned this the hard way in college, did you not? Learned this the hard way. Transubstantiation. This is the view, of course, of Roman Catholicism. And the view is, they focus on that phrase, this is my body, and this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, the funny part about it is, that's not really what they mean. But I say in your notes, obviously, this cannot be his body. Folks, if you hold out a piece of broken bread and say, this is my body, and you're standing there, everybody is looking at your... I don't think anybody's thinking, oh, that's your body. No, the body was right here. The body was holding the stuff. Normal people would probably think maybe he's using this in a way of representing his body. But for, you know, this gets real. Ooh. Yes? And by the way, people like that. You know, nobody ever asked me to come and pray over the chickens in the spring and throw holy water on them. I don't have any magic. People like mystery, smoke, incense, swinging things, long robes. All of a sudden you come to a Baptist church like this and the pastor is just one of you. What's special about me? And the answer is, other than I've been, Nancy, are you being bad? Daniel, you should not sit by her. You know that. When lightning strikes, you're too close. You know, the only difference between me and you is just two things. Number one, I have been called to do what I do, and hopefully gifted. And number two, I've spent a lifetime preparing. Other than that, we's the same. I don't have magic, but there is something about this. Like, wow, when I say the magic words, this magic happens. People like that. Now, Americans don't go to, you two gentlemen from the Philippines, you know, you have not been introduced to Catholicism in America, which is not very Catholic. Plus, nobody goes. Because you've been around the Philippines, you'll see ladies that go there every single morning to Mass. They're serious about this stuff. You get around Polish Catholics, especially in Poland, men will even go every day. In America, twice a year maybe. How do you know this, Frenchie? So I say this, obviously this cannot be his body. His body was right in front of them, holding the unleavened bread and the unfermented juice. Duh. And of course, what's even worse, Roman Catholics don't really believe that this is equals this is. So when they say this is, they don't really mean that. How do you know? Because actually, and we're going to, by the way, folks, I'm going to dive off the deep end in a minute, and some of you, when we get done today, will be going like, I need some oxygen. Actually, they mean this becomes. After the priest does certain things and says certain things, then this becomes. It isn't, that isn't his body, but it becomes his body. And guess how you're saved? By partaking of it. And the only way you can partake of the cracker, but the only way it can become that is for a priest under a bishop, under an archbishop, under a cardinal, under the College of Cardinals, under the Pope, has the authority to transform that into the body and blood of Christ. So we have salvation through the church. And it's the only way the magic can happen. By the way, a priest cannot do that under his own authority. He must be under a bishop, an archbishop, a cardinal, right up the chain. Do you not know this? Let's read all of this again. Roman Catholics, I'm not picking on Roman Catholics, folks. It's just what they're taught. Believe that this is, they don't believe this is equal this is. They believe that this is means this becomes. Bible-believing Christians hold that this is means this represents, since Jesus' actual body was right in front of them. Now, for you that are younger in the faith, look at me. When Jesus says, I am the door, I hope you don't start thinking, is he made of wood? What kind of a door? Does it have a lock? There's something, in some way, Jesus represents the way to God. But my goodness, we have been off on this one for a long time. Sharon, if you have something relevant and quick, I will take your question because we're going to dive off the deep end right now. I have met a few people in Linda on occasion that I thought might be a plant. Sorry, Linda. I had to say that. I'm sorry. I repent in sackcloth and ashes, sister. Yes, sir.
I've noticed that what Paul uses for the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11
yes.
is what Luke uses.
Correct.
But Matthew and Mark
slightly different.
A
lot of questions here. You're correct, my friend. All right, now I'm going to speak to all of you now. Are you ready? The first point that you're going to have is the most important thing I'll say all day. And it becomes very important for all Christians to get certain simple ideas. The question becomes, how in the world do we get from the New Testament to Roman Catholicism? And it is, where do they get priests from? There are no priests in the New, well, there are priests in the New Testament. Every single believer. So where do they get this stuff from? The first departure happens in the first two centuries using unbiblical, are you ready? Language. Using unbiblical language. This was the first departure. I have taught on this in this room. It's not a problem among us. In the Philippines right now, and by the way, Philippines are not unique. I guarantee I teach there, so I know the place well. But if I went to other countries, they have their own stupidities. People quickly start using language. So I think in the last 5 to 10 years, there's a certain guy there in Manila that started calling him Benny Abante, if you know who he is for the Filipinos. He started calling himself a bishop. Now, bishops in the King James Bible, it's the wrong word, because the word just means to oversee people, a flock, a church. He said initially he was using this because the government recognizes bishops because there's so many Catholics there. That's the very reason I wouldn't use the word. But very quickly, Bishop Abante started having churches that he was overseeing just like Roman Catholicism. And there are churches all over the Philippines that will say whatever the name Bible Baptist Church of that town, and then they will connect right back to his church in Manila. And then, of course, as soon as one guy becomes a bishop, which means he's what? What does that mean when he says he's a bishop? He is over other pastors. Well, the other big shots can't let that slide. So then you have to have other guys saying, I'm a bishop. So now you got a bunch of guys running around saying they're bishops. Unbiblical language. Men, ladies, don't buy into any, I don't like unbiblical language. Let me give you another one. There are a lot of Baptists now that like to call the Lord's Supper sacraments. You're going to learn why I'll never call them sacraments right now. In your notes, it started with using unbiblical language instead of simply using the language of the Bible. You know, things like communion, Lord's Supper, Thanksgiving. Christians began using the Greek word, musterion. And Stacy, since you are 50, what does the word musterion mean? And you already know just listening to it. Yeah, it's just a Greek word for mystery. But the problem with this is what? Look at me. No place in the entire New Testament is the Lord's Supper ever called a mystery. It's not a mystery, folks. That would be like going to those stones they pulled out of the Jordan River and put up here, so every time you pass by, you could remember there was a day that God opened the Jordan River and we came over on dry land, and all of a sudden you start calling the stones mysteries. They're just ways of remembering, giving thanks for the God who we know. And the God could do that again. They start calling it a mystery. That's in Greek. Has everybody got that? Greek? Christians began using the Greek word mystery, and later the Latin word Well, the Latin word was sacramentum, which we are now call. Wow. Sacrament. Yes. Which is more of a modern word. Is it sacrament with an A? I think it is. By the way, sacramentum, look up here, is Latin for mysterion. We're going to partake of the sacraments. There's nothing mysterious about what we're doing. Fact of the matter is, it's the opposite. This is a way of remembering, giving thanks, having communion, and in a proper order, self-examination before the Lord and His people. It's not about work, because the moment you call something a mystery, then you start leading a downhill pattern. And that's where we go. Are y'all with me? Just one word. There are many Baptists today in America of the younger, I don't want to pick on young guys. It's part of the reform world. They want to start calling things mysteries. The moment you call things mysteries, or excuse me, sacraments, why do they call it sacrament? Well, let's step back. I'm not in a hurry. Why do we call it sacraments? Why would a Baptist say we're going to partake of the sacraments? Why would they say that? Correct? We have the sacraments too. Some of it's that, and some of it goes right back to the same thing, friend. I don't have anything over you. Pastors in our kinds of churches are not above the flock. But if I can start developing lingo that you don't understand, it kind of puts me in a place where of mystery. There's no mystery to this, friend. Just use the words the Lord gives us. Dr. Moritz really hates sacraments. But I think he comes out of those sources where we realize it leads someplace. Now, I'm just going to move forward from here. Next, somewhere in the second and third centuries, the second stage happened, identifying the body and blood with the wine and bread. So instead of thinking this represents something, they started making some kind of an identification. We're a long way from Roman Catholicism, but they start, you know, this bread is his body. This juice is his blood. They start identifying. Whereas a Christian would simply say, I am the door. I am the light. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, they don't think about a guy that smells like sheep. You know, they think that is an image. It represents something. Next. Now, folks, I'm sorry to say this. I believe this happened in the first 300 years of the next stage. Do you know how long it takes for things to depart from the faith? It isn't very long, Walter. It's amazing how far you can get off track in a very short time. The King James Version, not in our church, but in the redneck fundamental Baptist churches, is now part of a cult movement. It is common for me to read people says you cannot get saved apart from the King James Bible. And you're like, think of the illogic of that. Look at me in the eyes. Young men, this started when I was your age. Before that, no fundamentalists had ever heard of this. But all of a sudden it grows. We use the King James. I don't have a problem with the King James. I also think you ought to read the ESV and probably New American Standard, and you probably ought to have several other versions. But things get really whacked out real quickly. It doesn't take a long time. You'll actually hear people say, this is old-fashioned Baptist belief, and I'm like, 30 years old? How old-fashioned is that? In your notes, the next step is the saving nature of the Lord's Supper was gradually created, where in some way they started doing this. Faith in Christ, and they started adding some kind of works. Now, they wouldn't call them works. They call these the sacraments. They also call them means of grace. So they might say these are means of grace. So they kind of mix these things. But it's no longer Christ alone and faith alone in Christ alone. It's faith plus somehow when you partake of the Lord's Supper, that's part of your salvation. Very quickly became that. Then, this required a bishop to officiate. And you're here, you get to hear in the first, this is probably a little bit later because priests didn't come along too early, but you start having this between the 300s and the 600s. I use a big word in here, sacerdotalism. Sacerdotalism is salvation through the priesthood, some kind of people that intervene. So no longer when a person gets saved, so when Rolando gets saved, no longer is he able, look up here, to go to God because of Christ. He now needs humans in between him and God. Ephesians 2:18, for through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile in that case, but in this case, all of us, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. But in this case, we separated this. And now we have to have this group of people in between us that help us get to God. Those are the priest. So, as I say in your notes, and by the way, I'm not real convinced that the average Christian cares, but Christians were no longer seen as priests. They now needed a priesthood. Do you know how damnable that is? Folks, every place in the New Testament, because of Christ, you are a priest the moment you get saved because you can approach God. Everybody, we're a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. All of us are priests. I'm not more than you. Hey, God, see, I'm not trying to lower myself. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm being factual. I have nothing on God's ear that you don't. I have the same access that you have. We're all priests unto God. But think about this. What if I was the priest and you weren't? What if the cracker you took has to have magic performed before it does this? You see, all of a sudden you have this group elevated and you can't get to God except through that group. Now, cults do this always. May I say this? I don't believe that most cults believe they teach salvation by works. I believe they teach salvation through their church. So whether it's a Roman Catholic Church or Iglesia Ni Cristo in the Philippines, everything is, you have to be part of that. If you're not part of that, you're not saved. Sounds like control. There was this little thing called the Inquisition back there for several hundred years. The only purpose of it was that. Wow. 865 AD, by the way, folks, that's a long time after the New Testament era. I don't even know how to say these Latin names. You say it. He introduced what's called the realistic view into the broader church, meaning this, the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. People before this knew nothing about the real presence of Christ in the bread and in the juice. They didn't know anything about that. Augustine didn't know it. Greek fathers didn't know it. 865 is when this begins to come to the forefront. 1134, Hildebert. Boy, if you name a child Hildebert, first used the word transubstantiation in a sermon. Roman Catholic doctrine took a long time to get to where it's at. So people ask me, you know, you hate, it's not about hating anybody. I know this. Hey, look up here. What's going on in the Philippines today with the word bishop? In 100 years, I have no idea where that's going to end. King James only stupidity, which I will, by the way, that's a deal breaker with me. I don't care if it's your grandpappy that believes it. You say, why? False doctrine leads places. Here's the problem. You don't know where it leads. But it never leads to good places. So you're telling me that the King James is it? What about the Sagoon version? Is that how you say it, Nancy? How do you say Louis Sagoon in French? Sounds the same as Sagoon to me. I don't even like you. By the way, it's older than the King James Version. Uh-oh. You know, all of this becomes the talk of fools, but you never know where heresy leads. I don't think anybody would have thought way back there in the second century when they started calling the Lord's Supper, we're going to partake of the mystery today, that we would be down this road. Everything really leads up to about here. Walter can give you more insight. This right here and right around this period of time, you'll never understand Roman Catholicism unless you understand Fourth Lateran Council and the guy that follows it up. In 1215 at the Fourth Lateran Council, the body and blood truly contains the forms of bread and wine being transubstantiated, but you still do not have the magic yet. And we have 2 minutes, and we're going to stop with my buddy Thomas Aquinas. Folks, Thomas Aquinas was a scholar that no man or woman in this room could even touch the hem of his garments. Pastor Warren does not look at people and call them stupid. Thomas Aquinas could clean the room with his brain. He was a giant among men and a giant that was wrong. About this period of time, and we've got 3 minutes to do this, about this period of time, ancient books from the ancient world were being translated. In the West, you know what the West is? Where Roman Catholicism was, nobody read Greek. Greek was read in the East. Some Arabic people, some Muslims, translated books from Plato, Aristotle, and those guys. They translated them into Arabic, and then they were translated into Latin. And Thomas Aquinas developed Roman Catholicism, the magic of this stuff, from a book. You guys know this? From a book from a Greek pagan named Aristotle. Now, we'll pick up here next week, but here's what I'm going to give it to you. He made it, Aristotle, not the Bible, made a distinction between the accidents and the substance. We'll follow this up next week, but look at me. Get the idea. Here it is. Because people would think, when I drink this water, this is the juice. Still tastes like water. Aristotle had an idea that there was the real substance and then there were the accidents. And the accidents don't change. So the juice still tastes like juice. Smell like juice. Look like juice. But the substance of it was transubstantiated. This comes from our buddy Aristotle. It has nothing to do with Christianity. So when people partake of the Lord's Supper and they look at that, and once the priest does his business, they're thinking, still looks the same. But what you can see, what you can smell, what you can hear, what you can touch, and what you can taste, that's not important. That's the accidents. The substance is what's important, and that is transformed. And you say, welcome. Thank you. That's the mystery. And nobody else can pull it off unless you're a priest under a bishop, under an archbishop, under a cardinal, under the College of Cardinals, under the Pope. That's the only one that can make the magic happen. So look at me, folks. Catholics today still look at Baptists as, at best, separated brethren. At worst, going to hell. Because we don't believe in the magic. That was your introduction. We'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we've had to share these ideas. Help us next week and the next couple weeks, as we try to round out and understand a biblical view of these things. This I ask in Jesus' name.